recovery.
What? What?
He says on his son in Waterbury. He says on his son in Waterbury.
He was in trouble.
Look at that. The people would be canine.
Oh, Genska.
What was he? He's canine.
Oh,
canine.
Shit. Oh,
okay,
shit.
I'm
going to
start doing canine also.
All right.
Because he said it already, he wanted it. He liked it.
All right. Fine.
Hey, guys. I'm going to be canine. I'm in trouble.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, I have a bunch of different ideas. Parsha. Let's start over here. That the gate to Purim. Beginning of the parasha. So it discusses the ingredients made in the shemen ha-mishcha, the shemen that's used to anoint the kelim. So it says, "Kach lecha b'samim reish." Take for yourself b'samim reish. Interesting expression he uses. It means chashev reish, like a head. The chashev b'samim, mar derar, some type of fancy, good-smelling spice. So we familiar with the Gemara in Chulin. On Kufla Metaslam Beis. No, you're familiar with the Gemara. You might have known this Gemara in Chulin. Either did I to more recently. But the Gemara says in Chulin, Haman min ha-Taira minayin. What's the source from Haman from the Taira? Amin ha-Eit, says Amin ha-Eit. This is written by, it's interesting, this is written by the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he was hiding. He was embarrassed, he says he was embarrassed because he was undressed. So Hashem said to him, "Who told you you're undressed? Hamen ha'Eitz asher tzivisicha levelteil chal menachalta? Did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from?" So Amin ha'Eitz. It's interesting to note that I'm just in pshat. Pasha pshat in the Gemara is where do we see Haman in the Torah? But that's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns, where do we see the story of Haman? Minayin l'maisa Haman. Where do we see the story of Haman in the Torah? Amin ha'Eitz, yisla ala ha'Eitz. Amin ha'Eitz, Haman ha'Eitz. Haman was hung on the tree. It's not we're learning out Haman, that's not what Rashi says, Shaila is what the difference is. Rashi says we're learning out the story of Haman, the punishment, the downfall of Haman. Then it says, Esther min ha-Taira minayin, Heino Esther from the Taira. Va'anaychi ha-Aster ha-Aster. It says, I'll hide myself on that day, and Hashem's punishing Klal Yisrael. Hashem's presence will be hidden. It's there, but it'll be hidden. So again Rashi says, how do we know Rashi's even Gerson the Gemara, it seems this? Not how do you know Esther? How do you know the story of Esther? So, Esther, that at that time, you know, a time of Esther, there's going to be a lot of tzaras, and Hashem's going to hide. Hashem, in the beginning at least, Hashem was hidden. You know, things looked bleak. And then it says, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin, interesting the order. First Haman, then Esther, then Mordechai. Would have done it probably the other way. Mordechai min ha-Taira minayin, desiv mar deror. Says mar deror. We take a minon, and the uncleus of mar deror is Mari Dachi, which is very close to Mordechai. We have to go to the uncleus for this one, but Mari Dachi is Mordechai. Again, Rashi says, how do you know Mordechai? Not how do you know? Where do you find a remez to Mordechai? Minayin legedulas Mordechai. How do you know the greatness of Mordechai? So it was very interesting. Never heard anyone point this out. That Rashi doesn't learn that it's learning out each person, the identities. It has to do with the story. How do we know the story of Mordechai, the greatness of Mordechai? Mar derar, because it says, b'samim reish. It says in the beginning of the pasuk, it says, it says, Kach lecha b'samim reish, the head of the b'samim. Who's going to be the head of the b'samim? Who's going to be the head of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? The tzaddikim are called b'samim over here. Mordechai. Mardoror or Mordechai. So, I'd like to say, save it for next part, but I'd like to say that first of all, it's interesting that where do we learn Mordechai from? Mordechai has learned that from Mardoror, from a spice. And the Sanhedrin here are called spices, B'samim Reish. He's the head of the spice, the head of the spices. So it would seem to me that when I think of spices, I think of a good smelling thing. So we think of the midas taivais, you know, the good midas of a person. The beauty of a person is found in their midas tovos, in their erlichkeit, in their chesed, sensitivities to other people. So it could be that minayin l'gdulas Mordechai. Where do we learn out l'gdulas Mordechai? We don't find anywhere. This doesn't answer the question 100%, but we don't find the Gemara goes Rabbi Kiva min haTorah minayin, him from the Torah minayin, him from the Torah minayin. We find every identity, every great identity, every great personality that any story we find the personalities brought in the Torah. And over here, for some reason, I'm not answering the question fully, but over here, for some reason, you know, we're looking for a source. But I was thinking that we're not learning out Mordechai. We're not looking to find names in the Torah. We're looking to find lessons from the Torah. Where does the greatness of Mordechai come from? From Mar Derar. His beauty, his midos tovos, his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Kam v'loy zami menu, Mordechai is going to do what's right. He's not going to bow down to Haman. So the beauty of a person is the great. A greatness comes from midos. Even on the surface, it doesn't look like it should lead to greatness. Mordechai is, we spoke at before Purim, that Mordechai is not bowing down to Haman. It looked like it should have caused destruction. It did. On a practical level, it looked like that this is causing destruction of Klal Yisrael. You know, I think we spoke at then. I'm not sure if we spoke at the whole Vart. The Sudas Achashverosh, right? There were none of the Sudas Achashverosh. It looked like it would be good for Klal Yisrael. And on a practical level, any unintelligent person, even an intelligent person, would say, well, we did the right thing by being nana from Susa Achashverosh because it helped bring Shalom Achos. Achashverosh liked us. Mordechai is a Rasha. Mordechai is doing the wrong thing. He's being too frum. Because Klaus is going to be killed because of his frumkeit. Frumming. Because of him, Klaus is being destroyed. And it's really the opposite. That's a lesson of Purim. It's really the opposite. Hashem was pulling the strings. And what we do down here, we have to realize what we do down here, what looks like anything practical is not real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything. When we do what's right, that says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me take care of this person. We do what's wrong, it tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this person deserves to get a patch. So even though on the practical level it looks like, doing this looks like it'll help me, cheating will look like it'll get me money, this will look like it's good for me, but the truth is, it's not true, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Hashem's running every string. So what's really good is what's good to Hashem. What's good to Hashem, that's what's going to turn out to be good. So the Mar Derar, what made the Mordechai the B'samim Reish, what Mordechai the head of the Sanhedrin, was his Mar Derar, was his commitment to Yiddishkeit, was his Midos Tovos. I was thinking Derech Josh that says by Esther, Shisha Chadashim B'Shemen Amar, Shisha Chadashim B'Abisanim, that Esther had to sit 6 months in this, in the Shemen Hamar, probably related to Mar Gerar, 6 months in this Besamim of Mar, and 6 months in the Besamim. So it could be there's a remiss to that Indian, that the preparation, the greatness of a person, the godless, the salvation of Klal Yisrael, comes from someone who's beautiful, who spends months fixing his midos, who spends his life fixing himself, making himself beautiful, making himself perfect. That's a remiss there. So, and that's it could be that's the opposite. Haman min atar minayin. We don't care to find Haman. We find you have to find the makar for every rush in the Torah. There are other Risham that have been around, Antiochus, other evil people. So, but Hama min atayim minayin, not Hama, Sak Rashi. Where do we know the story of Hama? The downfall of Hama. Hama na'itz, that he was hung on the tree. The answer is, Hama na'itz, Lashon Pasuk is Hama na'itz. From the tree that I command you not to eat, did you eat? In other words, what? Adam Arishan had a tremendous desire. If I eat the tree, Chav had a desire. If we eat this tree, from this tree, everything's going to be wonderful. It's funny, I wasn't Zaycha. The whole before Purim, I had in mind. No, like it's like that. I had this question. Why do we learn out from Hamina Eitz, Hama? What's the connection to this parsha? I didn't think of an answer the entire Purim. Someone told me on Purim, I didn't ask them, they happened to tell me a pshat on Purim, and I like my pshat better, for I'll tell you. Of course, I was like your pshat better. Someone told me a different pshat, and this pshat I think people say. Someone told me a different pshat. The question was, why happens to be that any time that we learn out someone from somewhere, there's a reason why coincidentally we learn out from there. So we said a drush, Mar Deror, that we're learning it from Mar Deror because it was Mordechai's Midos, Tovos, that's what brought him to Godless. And that's what brings every person to Godless. We're not learning out Mordechai. We're learning out the lesson of Mordechai. You want to become a great person, you want to be Adam Gadol? It's by doing what's right. It's not by trying to run after it. It's by doing what's right. It's by doing what the good things. It's the tikkun of your inside, fixing yourself. So Shadows, why Haman? We're learning out from here. So someone said, I think it's Kedai to say over because it's a nice Vart, that Haman was similar to Adam Arishan. Because Adam Arishan had the whole world, everything, but he couldn't have one thing. He couldn't have Yifun Eitzadah, so that he couldn't handle. And that's the Midah of Haman, the Chozein and Ashavali. That Haman, he had everything. He had all this honor and power, but if he couldn't have Mordechai bow down to him, it's all not worth it. Well, that's the nature of a person that's a Baal Tayo. He'll never be happy. But I was thinking, not necessarily contradicting, but thinking the pshat is a little different pshat. That Adam Arishan felt, I need to eat from this tree. It's going to be good for me. Not sure, it wasn't a taiva. It wasn't even necessarily just a desire. The fruit looked very geshmak. It could be. But also he felt it's a itzadas. This is gonna help me. But he didn't realize, Zakta Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hamina Itza Shirtsu Visikal Tiyo Chalmi Menach Chalta? How do you know you're not dressed? What led you to this downfall? Till now he wasn't embarrassed to walk around without clothing. Like a small child's not embarrassed to walk around without clothing. It's a beautiful thing. This child doesn't know from Taiva. Doesn't know about Yitzhi. He doesn't have the Yitzhahara for things. Where we have that sensitivity, that embarrassment, which is good that we have it, but it's because we understand that our Taivas. The Goyim walk around without clothing, it's less sensitivity to Taiva. The preaches they use and the words they use, because they have no sensitivity to those things. It's not, you know, like a person wouldn't go to the, you know, one thing they still don't do, but who knows what's going to be down the road. People don't go to the bathroom in the middle of the street. People use a bathroom because they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed to expose themselves. So, because Lamaisa, we're embarrassed, everyone's heard from Yaakov Moshe Katz, as a person's embarrassed, exposes his physical, mundane desire, his mundane natures. That's animalistic, going to the bathroom. It's not an elevated part of being a human being. So our taivas by us. So we understand these taivas are not something we're proud of. They're for good reasons and there's a purpose in them, but they're not necessarily something we're proud of. So we try to recover them. So but the Goyim, as the generations get worse and worse, there's no sensitivity. We're not embarrassed of our taivas. We're not embarrassed of our desires. Everyone's publicizing their desires. There's nothing wrong. So Mamela, there's no busha. So there's no embarrassment. There's no covering up. But I don't even know how I got to get into that. But the pshat is, so he said, how do you know you're Aram? And how do you, now you have a Yetzirah? And now your Yetzirah just grew. Till now you're okay walking undressed. You didn't have a Yetzirah like that. But how do you know? Where's your downfall? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? When you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's good. If you think you're outsmart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to eat from the tree, I'm going to have das, this is what I need for success. No. It's gonna bring your downfall. That's a Haman in HaTorah Minayin. We don't care to learn at Haman. We don't care to find Haman in the Torah. He's not deserving to be found in the Torah. But the lesson, as Rashi says, the downfall of Haman is because he didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch. And that's the site of Purim. That the person has to realize that following HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed success, and otherwise it's a guaranteed downfall. It's a guaranteed failure. If we want to finish off the Gemara, that Esam and Atayr Minayin, Vanaychi Aster Aster. So Rashi says, how do we know the story of Esther? Where's the remnant of the story of Esther? So it could be again. The limud is, we're not looking for Esther, doesn't seem from Rashi. But where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there? Even when things are bad, Hashem is there. Here, Klaus was about to be destroyed. Klaus was about to be destroyed. But there was Esther in the king's chamber. There was Esther ready there to save Klaus. Klaus didn't do tshuva, then they would have been wiped out. It's possible that could have happened, but if they wouldn't have done tshuva, they would have been wiped out. But Esther was waiting there. HaKadosh Baruch was always there. Every tzara that a person goes through. And even when it doesn't always work out to what looks like, a success story, like Purim looked out to be a holiday. But even when things are attacked tough, and they don't always, you don't always have a clear answer to the success. But Vanaychi Aster Aster, as HaKadosh Baruch was watching, Hashem knows what's going on. Hashem, Gemara said, Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that when a person is killed, when a person who's Chayiv Mis is killed, Hashem is pain. Hashem feels pain of the person who's Chayiv Mis was being hung. Hashem feels that person's pain. The Mashal says that's the greatness of making someone happy. Mashal says in Tainus. Because when you make someone else happy, it's like making Kadosh Baruch Hu happy. Hashem feels the pain of a Yid, of everybody. Vanaychi Aster Aster, I'm there. No matter what a person's going through, I'm there, and that's what we're learning from Esther. Okay. That was our COVID Purim Tyre. It's not Purim Tyre. Tyre is Purim. Once we're on the line of Drush, there's a famous Chazal. I've seen this Kasha. I remember Ray Brown spoke about this Kasha for Akwe. I've seen many svarim. It's a very popular kasha. So you two should know this popular kasha. You might know it already since it's so popular. Maybe it's not that popular, but it's this week's parsha. So I'm sorry. It's in the beginning. Before. By Bitzal, it says, "By Davar Hashem Moshe Leimar, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bitzal Ben Uri Ben Cholamata Yehuda." So, "Vamalei Yosei Ruach Elokim Mechach Masuna Das Chamolacha." And the pasuk says, "Ves Ol Moed." He should make the Olamoy, Ves Aron Eidos, and Aron, Ves HaKapayros, Ves Kol Klei Aya. Gemara and Brachos, the Ber Yosef talks about in this week's parasha. The Gemara and Brachos on this pasuk of Rei Kar Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel. So it's the Gemara says in Brachos the following thing. B'Tzalel Hashem Chachmasa Nikra. B'Tzalel was called because of his wisdom. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go tell Bitzal, make for me the Mishkan, the Aron, and the Kelim. It's interesting, the Aron's given a separate title. The Mishkan, Aron, and Kelim. Moshe switched the order. Moshe said, make the Aron, Kelim, and then the Mishkan. Moshe said, told Bitzal to make the Aron first, and the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. So, Moshe Rabbeinu said, So I'm sorry, but Sal said to Moshe, is that the normal practice in the world? What does a person do first? First builds a house, and then he brings inside his kelim. And you're telling me first to make the kelim, and then build a house, and then he says, where am I going to bring these kelim to? Where am I going to place the kelim? Where am I going to place these kelim that you built for the Mishkan? If you want me to make the kelim first, Moshe Rabbeinu, so where am I going to put them? So Bezalel said to him respectfully, maybe Hashem said maybe Hashem wants you to make the Mishkan first. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yitaka right. He had made a mistake. Shema Bezalel Kel. Your name is Bezalel Kel. Bezalel Kel in the shadow of Hashem. In the name of Hashem. So you're right. So that's why it's called Bezalel Kel. Bezalel Hashem, that Bezalel had this understanding, the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch. So the question is, there are a number of questions on this Gemara. One question that I remember Brown asked was that they asked, I think there are a lot of Mepharshim asked this Kasha, that what was Bezalel saying? Where am I going to put, you have to build a house first, you know, because that's normal, you know, and Lechor, it's one thing, and where am I going to put the Kelim? That's where am I going to put the Kelim of the Mishkan? But the kasha is that the Mishkan was finished in Nisan, but it wasn't put up till Chanukah. So they didn't erect the Mishkan until after everything was made. They made the Mishkan first, like the Tzal said. They made the walls and the sockets, the adonim and everything. And then they made the kelim. And then later on Chanukah, actually it was on Chanukah, they put up the. It was the Ashkacha that happened years later on that day. On Chafei Kislev, which it's brought down, that's another reason to have a Suda, Chafei Kislev, that was when they put up the Mishkan. Right. So that was when the Mishkan was put up, Chafei Kislev. So what's the difference which is built first? The guy's building material for a house. The guy's building material for the house. And he's building the furniture for the house. Doesn't really make a difference which one he's doing first if he doesn't plan on putting anything up till after he finishes all of it. You know, he asks another kasha. The Bar Yosef asks another kasha. Bar Yosef asks that how can you compare the house of a human being to the Mishkan? The Mishkan's halik. The Mishkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all these plans made to Aaron this way and this way and this measurement. Everything's exact. It's beyond our comprehension why Hashem's details in the Mishkan. Hashem made this color and this and that. Akasha. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu told you do this. You wouldn't ask. You wouldn't have a kasha. Oh, but it's not the normal practice. We're not discussing normal practice here. We're discussing Lamayla Menatava here. So I like to say two words here. First of all, on the second kasha, we can give a tarot as follows. That it's true. You can't compare the building of the Mishkan to the building of the house. But what Bezalel was saying is we have to realize that everything in the Ruchnius world, everything there is, we have to learn from on the Gashmius level. Everything's connected. Everything in the Ruchnius on the highest level is connected to the practical. If the way Hashem, if the derech of the world, obviously, yeah, well, how else are you going to make the house, you know? But if that's the way Hashem made the nature is you build a house and then you put in the kelim, and that's the way Hashem constructed the world. So then the Mishkan should be a replication of that. Hashem said to him, Bezalel Kel. Bezalel Kel, what does it mean, Bezalel Kel? The shadow of Hashem. It's not Batzel, it's not the onion of Hashem. Bezalel Kel in the shadow of Hashem. So Pachup Shad, okay, because Bezalel is very smart, so he is like similar to Hashem. But what does that have to do with being a shadow? But it could be because Bezalel understood that everything in this world is in the shadow of Hashem. Every physical thing in this world, every mundane thing in the world is in the shadow. You can learn out a Ruchnius thing from. The order of everything. Anything in this world, anything physical in this world, you can learn from a spiritual thing. So he felt there had to be corresponding, there has to be a connection between the two things. That's one Vart. But it doesn't answer the first kasha. It doesn't necessarily answer the first kasha so perfectly. The first kasha is that Lamaisa didn't make a difference over here. That's only when you build a house and you're planning on when you're actually building the house. If you're just making putting down walls on the floor and you're not standing it up, so really then it doesn't make such a difference. So I don't know if it's such a kasha. You could answer the Lamaisa practically. If a person's building a house, what would he build first? If a guy's building construction, the guy says, okay, I'm going to prefab a house. You know, I'm going to make walls of a house. If you start building the furniture, you have nowhere to put. Bezalel said to him, where am I going to put them? Lahecha nachnisam. I don't think Bezalel meant, I want to say the Pshat Gemara is not, where am I going to put them? Oh, I'm going to build these kiln. What are we going to do with them? Okay, what's the big deal? Hashem could watch them. But on a practical level, where am I going to put them means, what's being put into what? The kelim are being put inside a mishkan. So you always build, you first build a structure. Your focus has to be the structure. And then to fill it up inside. So what's a person going to do, a practical person, what's he going to do if he's building a house? I'm going to start building the walls that I'm going to put up, or I'm going to build the furniture that I'm going to put inside of it? On a mind, an intelligent person first is going to build, even though it doesn't make a difference which one. Practically, a person's first focus has to create the structure, then put in the kelim. So, I think that's a pshat Bezalel. Bezalel is saying that the way Hashem created the nature of the world, structure comes first. Then you put in the kelim. But it could be the Derech Trush. Could be Derech Trush. We could say that it represents something deeper. That the Mishkan represents the structure of the person. And the Kalim, says the Aron and the Kalim, that represents the Avaida, the Torah of the person. What comes first? Does the Torah come first? Does the Avaida come first? Or does the Menschlichkeit of the person come first? The Derech Eretz of the person? The health of the person. It should be a sane person. It should be a calm person. What has to be the first? Zuck Bezalel, you first need a structure. You can't put the kelim, you can't put the Torah into someone who's not a mensch. You'll ask me, but isn't Torah supposed to make a person to a mensch? The answer is, and the Majigas Adam talks about it, the answer is, it's really a circle. Derech Eretz Kamal L'Torah. If you want to learn Torah, you gotta be focused on making yourself a mensch. Before you step down to learn Gemara, it has to be important to you to be a mensch. You gotta be a normal person. You gotta be a mensch. Torah elevates a person to higher levels of Derech Eretz. You've gotta realize that Derech Eretz Kamal L'Torah, that I have to be a mensch, and Torah then will bring me to higher levels of Derech Eretz, which Torah is supposed to do. So it could be the Remez here, but Sal is saying before you're gonna put in the Aron, before you're going to put in the Torah, before you're going to put the kelim, before you're going to stuff this Mishkan, before you're going to permeate this building, this person. As we know, the Mishkan, the lave of every class of an Asati, was the Vashna Pasuk Asati, Mishkani B'Saicha. The Mishkan is the heart of every person. So before you're ready to stick in all that Torah, the person's got to build the structure. The person's got to make sure that he's a mensch, that he's fit. That he's fit to be makabal the Torah.
That's shoving more than why you just make Galen first.
What?
So what was the passion in that mice? That's what I'm saying, but why would he say that like this?
So he's saying, look at the normal way of the world. And that's a lima. The way the rest of the world works, that there's a reason for it. There's a shkacha that the world on the physical level works that way. But the I'm not contradicting that, but the site perhaps behind the whole Yeah, it's a just not so
much.
Let's see. It says, sorry, this week I don't have connected thoughts. But I don't even try. I just go through the parasha. Sometimes Hashem just everything works together. But it says later at the end of Perek Lamed Beis. In the paragraph base it says, "Vayigayf Hashem es ha'am." Hashem plagued the people. People died. Ala Asher also as the eagle, because of the eagle they made. Asher also Aaron, that Aaron made. Sharp, sharp blow over here. Asher also Aaron, the eagle that Aaron made. I think this is something you find many times in the Torah. You find many times in Chazal. The Torah says in many places. It says David, it says David sinned, David did this, he did this. And the Torah goes ahead and says very bluntly, the Torah tells us the stories of the brothers of Yosef. The Torah tells us they were jealous of him. And they wanted to kill him. I mean, if you read it on a without looking at Chazal, the way the Torah is written, the brothers were jealous. They wanted to do away with him, so they wanted to kill him. Then they had a little mercy and they sold him. But that's not really what happened. They look at Chazal. They made a bezdin, and HaKadosh Baruch was involved. Then they passed and he was chayev misa because he did averus. But the Torah is teaching us over here and many other places that a person has to accept full responsibilities for his actions. Aaron, it seemed, did an avera. It was a very slight avera. He did not intend to make an ego. He intended to stall. He wasn't intending to make an ego. But nonetheless, he did the wrong thing. The Maisa was considered a chait on Aaron's level. Person has to take responsibility. People always walk around, it's not my fault. You know, there are two types of people. There are people that they could be 99% guilty, and if there's 1% innocence, they have 1% excuse. That's not my fault. This person did this. You know, it's not my fault. And there are other people that are 1% guilty, 1% guilty, 99% innocent, and it's all my fault. And the Torah teaches us, yes, it's true, it's all your fault. Because it doesn't mean you're going to be punished in Shemayim for the full chait. But you have to see, accept upon yourself the guilt, the responsibility, as if it's all your fault. Even though it's only on a slight level, but we aim for, the Torah aims for perfection. The brothers were jealous, they killed them. Yes, because on one level it was that. They were jealous and they had negias and therefore they did the wrong thing. Yes, but they didn't really intend to do, they had good intentions. And it wasn't a full-fledged crime. You know, and when David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba, he also, it says David HaMelech didn't sin. But on some level, there was that fault, that was responsibility. And a person that is responsible for his, fully responsible for his actions. There's no excuses. It wasn't my fault. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says that what's a machlekes that's not l'shem shemayim? Machlekes karech v'adasa. It's a famous var that machlekes karech. I don't know who's the originator of this var. Some vars are so pasha that don't seem to need an originator. But karech v'adasa. It doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu on Karach, because why? Because it wasn't a machlokes between Moshe and Karach. Moshe was not involved in the machlokes. It was a machlokes between Karach and himself. It was his problem. The machlokes wasn't between Moshe. Moshe had no involvement in the machlokes. No. But had Moshe Rabbeinu had any involvement in the machlokes? Had he not tried to make shalom? Had he gotten angry? Had he had any part in the machlokes? It's a machlokes, Karach, and Moshe Rabbeinu. A person's involved with a fight with somebody. It's not my fault. He started up with me. He's out to get me. Okay, but did you try to make peace with him? Did you try to make up with him? Did you ask Mechila for what you did wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You're perfect. People is always relevant to marriage. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. People get, you know, say, Shai wrote it down in the notebook. He said that you know, person's in an accident. Yeah. He says, I had it right away. He says, yeah. He was right. I don't know who was originating this line. He was right. He's dead right. Yeah. The person can be right, but you're dead right. You're dead right, meaning you're chayiv. You're doing the wrong thing. Person has to be fully aware of your responsibilities. If you did something wrong, even if it was Klal Yisrael's fault, Aaron wanted to make an ego? Not at all. But Lamaisa, he has a responsibility for the ego. Because he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have taken the gold. He shouldn't have thrown in the fire. Many times Chazal tells us that if a person sees someone else do something wrong and he doesn't protest, it's like he did it. Is he going to be punished as if he did it? I don't know. But he has a responsibility as if he did it. He has a responsibility to try to erase what he did. If a person allowed something to go wrong, then he has a responsibility to fix it as if he did it. There's no excuses. It's not a matter of walking around feeling guilty. It's a matter of doing tshuva. It's a matter of accepting responsibility for your actions. What do you say? That marriage, yeah. The husband's. I didn't get into specific. The marriage, the husband and wife, they're, you know, have a fight, this and that. So the husband. You know, for many people have gotten divorced. Unfortunately, the divorce rate is very high. Shalom bias problems are very high. So for every family that's getting divorced, there'll be another family that's fighting, but no, they're not getting divorced. Plenty of shalom bias problems. But what is it? What is it? One side is right, right? And one side is right. You know, people always wonder, there's a divorce. Who was right? Who was at fault? Was the husband at fault? Was the wife at fault? It's not our business. We don't know. We never know who's at fault. But Lamaisa, what's going on? What happens many times, and what happens all the times in marriage, whether I'm not chas v'shalom, no divorce. But any marriage where there's strife or any strife that comes up in marriage, it's usually a matter of I'm right. You were wrong. But that's because a person's looking to always vindicate himself. I'm right. I'm right. Stop trying to look for your innocence. Look for your guilt. Fine, where am I guilty? Doesn't mean that the person walk around depressed. It's not a depressed person. It's a happy person who wants to do what's right. Where am I wrong? Where did I go wrong? My wife is very, you know, a lady's upset her husband. Yes, Danny wants me to get me started. A lady's upset her husband. So he says she's a Russia. She gets so angry. I'm going to Rav. You get divorced. She's Meshugna. She's always getting angry. Not once. I'll tell you half of the Gemara. Half the Gemara. I'll tell you the half of the Gemara. The truth is that it's really, we're going to do it inside in the Dharm. Should I wait? Alright, I'll tell you the Vart. We got off the top here. But a lady's angry at her husband. So all he's thinking about his wife's a Meshugana. His wife's a jerk. His wife's wrong. And that's it. And instead, think to himself, why is my wife angry? Like, why? Maybe even ask her. That's an important step here. Why is my wife angry? What did I do wrong? What could I possibly do wrong? I did something wrong. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was even an anus. That doesn't mean you don't have to ask mechila. Doesn't mean you don't have to fix it. Sometimes the person unintentionally insults, hurts somebody. He's not an anus. You know, there are many people that go around hurting people. So mamash hurt people all the time. You say they're an inus. They don't realize they're hurting people. But they're not an inus. They're not an inus because the people they've hurt, and sometimes they find out they've hurt somebody, they don't bother thinking as to what I'm doing wrong. A person's not an inus unless he really checks himself out. Got me on the... the half of the Gavart. The Gemara, end of the... Oh, you guys learned. You guys, something you learned. You guys learned the ninth parak or no? End of the ninth parak.
Sorry.
Yeah, with.
Oh,
I have a great vart. They say people bring this gemara, but they missed the vart. The gemara. There's gemara with a Babylonian. There's a Babylonian that went to Eretz Yisrael, and he got married to a lady, and there's a communication problem. It's good. Next time Rabbi Shuk speaks about communication, I should tell him, give him this gemara. They had a communication problem in the language because they spoke a different language. And when she said, make for me beans, so in Eretz Yisrael that meant to make me a whole supper, and she cooked him two beans. Because in the way I heard from, he was from Babel, she was from Eretz Yisrael, they had communication problems. So he kept on getting angry with her. So at one point he tells her, take two bitsini. Bitsini meant melons. And she goes and takes two candles. So he says, so he of course gets angry at her for bringing the wrong thing. So he says, go break them on the head of Baba. The bread of the Baba is the gate. says, go break them on the top of the gate. So Baba ben Zutta happened to be sitting around there. So she said, go break it on Baba. So she goes and takes the candles, smack. So Baba ben Zutta says to her, Ma'an deyda avadata, what are you doing? Amrlay, she said to him, Kach tzivani ba'ili, this is what my husband told me to do. He told me to break the candles on you. He said, oh, you did what your husband wanted? Hashem should bless from you two children like Baba ben Zutta. Such a gewaldic thing, you listen to your husband, Hashem should bless you with two children Baba ben Zutta. So I've seen brought down that, you know, even Mr. Sham, I think, brings down this Maisa. The Maisa of the Gaus of Baba ben Zutta, he didn't get angry. But I think there's a hafladik you cite in the Gemara. That, why the husband keep on getting angry? Because he never bothered asking her, like, I don't understand something. I asked you to get beans. I'm going to cook me some beans. Why do you only cook me two? I asked you to bring me melons. Why are you bringing me candles? Now, you sounds ridiculous. Like, how come you didn't ask? This happens all the times in life. He's angry at John's angry at Shmero's angry at Reuven. This, like, maybe think to yourself, why did they do it? There's maybe a reason why the person did it. They think the person's out to get you. Is there a reason? Maybe the person's not such a rush. Like, why are you assuming he's a malik? Maybe there's a reason for what he's doing. When she hit Baba Bhutta on the head, what was his first reaction? He didn't just not get angry. Fine, that would have been a godless on itself. But the greater godless said, Mahadinda Varata, what are you doing? He said, she's not hitting him in the head for no reason. Right? Did I do anything wrong to her? Like, chances are she's probably not hitting me in the head for no reason. So what are you doing? This is exactly the difference between the husband and Baba ben Zutta. The husband who lived in the house all the time never bothered asking her, what are you doing? Baba ben Zutta gets it on that, he says, what's wrong? What are you doing this for? He said, my husband told me to. And he's probably thinking, okay, I don't know what's wrong with the husband. But the husband told it to him. So good, it's good, I'm happy you listened to your husband. But he asked. Many times we're always we point the blame and this and that, we don't ask. And that's our fault. That's our crime. I think Klal Yisrael, perhaps Klal Yisrael fell into that to some level. Because right afterwards, it talks about Pasuk says Vibito Acharei Moshe. They looked after Moshe Rabbeinu. So you guys are familiar with the Gemara, and so Rashi says it was a praise. They looked after Moshe Rabbeinu. They were so impressed with Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara in Kedushin brings down, familiar with the Gemara Kedushin, Rami Gilman Beis, I think it is, Rami brings down that some say it was evil, that they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu in a bad light. They warned their wives. They told all their wives, don't be with Moshe Rabbeinu. They warned all their wives from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hard to say. They made Moshe Rabbeinu into a part. So stay away from Moshe Rabbeinu, as if he's someone that's a Russian. So it could be that it's right after. It's right after the parsha. It's mamash right after. It's the same parsha. After the ego, and Hashem takes away that, tells them they have to give up their crowns. They have to give up their crowns that they got from Har Sinai of Nasa and Ishma. And then what are they doing right away? And Moshe Rabbeinu here is the one that saved them. Daven for them not to be destroyed. And right away, v'bita achrei Moshe. Let's Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rasha. We have to find someone else to put it on. You know, we're not so bad. We did that. We're not so bad. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not as holy as people think. You know, people are always looking at the negative traits of other people. You know, on themselves, it's always, you know, I'm a tzaddik. We have to do the opposite. When it comes to ourselves, yeah, we're tzaddikim. It's very important. But l'maisa, we do this wrong, we do this wrong, we do this wrong, and we have to be aware of everything doing wrong. When it comes to other people, we don't have to always be aware of what everything's doing wrong. Right afterwards, at the end of the parasha, it says, Yeshua ben Nanar lo yamish b'teich ha'ayah. That Yeshua was in oil. See, it seems like the way the parasha sets up, like he was oblivious to everything that was going on. You know, and when he heard the egel, he said, what is it? It's a machama, you have no idea. And then the parasha, and then this whole sugya here, no, Yeshua, you didn't know what's going on. You know, that people always looking around at other people, trying to find the faults in other people and getting angry at other people. Look at your own faults. Everybody else, you should focus. You shouldn't look. And if I care, and if you see someone that does something wrong, you should, or does something that's not so good, you should be down the kavshchas. You know, don't make him into a rush. This is the opposite of the next two things that happened. Klal Yisrael blames Moshe Rabbeinu, wants to make Moshe Rabbeinu Rasha, and Yeshua's innocence. Yeshua ben Nunar. The Ramban discusses, it's Ibn Ezra. Oh, it's Ibn Ezra. The Ramban's called the Nar. He's called the Nar. What's Ibn Ezra and the Ramban discuss? Why is he called the Nar? He's 56 years old, Ibn Ezra says. Why is he called the Nar? So Ibn Ezra says he served Hashem with the enthusiasm maybe of a Nar. But I don't know if you're allowed to say it, but Pasha Pshai was the innocence of a Nar. People always want to know the latest scoop and the latest thing about that, but that you should hate it. And Marish, that's one thing I do hate. Hate gossips. Forget Lashon Hara. But it's the bad meat, but the meat of Shabbat. He's in a fight with him, and he's him. People want to know the latest scoop, the latest gossip. The world is such a nasty place when you find out all these things. Why do you want to know these things? The world is so pretty when everyone gets along, Shalom Yisrael, everyone loves each other. What do you have to know these things? Why do you want to know this person got divorced, and this person got this, and this person did this wrong? Why do you want to know? Okay, well, I'll discuss another time why people want to know. But Lama Yisrael, you shouldn't want to know. So it comes from a bad meat. It comes from someone that's not happy with himself and therefore is looking to find evil in everybody else. When you have problems with yourself, you got to find evil in everybody else. If you have shalom with yourself, you don't want to hear everyone else's negativity. All right.